Hello and welcome back to Putting Town Centres First, a new podcast by the Heritage Council. I'm Alison Harvey and I will be interviewing our guests throughout the series on the need for innovative and collaborative responses and solutions to enhancing and regenerating our historic town centres. In this episode, I speak with Orla Murphy, architect, TV presenter and university lecturer, who has written a book on Irish towns and was part of a design team that created an exhibition for the Venice Biennale entitled Free Market. Free Market toured a number of Irish towns last summer. In this episode, Orla talks about the need for a greater understanding of what makes our towns unique in terms of character and sense of place. She highlights the need for a collaborative approach and the need for new policy and systems. Orla talks about her hopes that the European Commission will drive on a new era for Irish towns and town centres through the European Green Deal and the recent call by Ursula von der Leyen to create a new Bauhaus movement for Europe. Hello, folks. Today we are talking with Orla Murphy, architect and university lecturer. Orla, great to have you with us today. So nice to see you again. Can I just ask you, in terms of what is your key role as an architect, and could you maybe tell us a wee bit about your background? How did you get started working on this sort of issue and concept of towns and town centres?
Thanks for having me, Ali. So I'm a practicing architect. I'm also assistant professor in UCD School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy, where I'm also co-director of the UCD Centre for Irish Towns with Dr. Philip Crowe. I worked in practice mainly working on public housing and schools. And then in 2012, I started up my own kind of micro practice called Custom. And that allowed me really to begin working on three different parallel strands. So one was design, then research and teaching. And I suppose influenced by the fact that I moved to Westport and really started to become fascinated by towns and how they functioned, having been a city dweller all my life before that, that really began to influence how I worked, and I suppose some particular research projects that I got involved with, firstly as the architect in residence in Cavan Town, which led to the Atlas of Cavan project, and then arising out of that to the Kevin Kieran Award. But so increasingly, I kind of got drawn into looking and thinking about towns. And the small practice, which is really just me, allows me to work collaboratively with other people, which I've done on a range of different projects to do with research and practice and teaching. So one example of that might be the UCD Centre for Irish Towns. And I'm also co-presenter of the RTE documentary Building Ireland, which went into its third series this year.
Yeah, fabulous series.
Yeah, I wear a lot of different hats, but it suits me. It allows me to work quite nimbly and to work on what I'm interested in. And increasingly and more recently, that's focused on the town in Ireland.
Very good. That series is excellent. I mean, I'm an avid watcher of it. So yeah, it's really, really good. So in terms of towns and your knowledge, your experience, you know, you're saying there you have so many hats, which is brilliant because you get to sort of see the gaps and you get to see what the issues are really, for sort of various sectors. In terms of the towns and their morphology and their form and fabric, I mean, it's really, I suppose, why we all sort of are working on towns and town centres, because they're so special, that character that has evolved over hundreds of years. Could you maybe tell us, you know, sort of in terms of what you've seen, what you've learned in terms of materials, what creates the sense of place, the uniqueness?
One thing I love about towns is their scale. You can understand them because they're obviously not as large as cities, and they have kind of common conditions but also differences, and they have a unique character. In Ireland, there are different sort of types or morphologies of towns, and probably the oldest town in which kind of market starts to evolve as a sense of exchange at the core of towns are in the Anglo-Norman towns. So for example, the New Ross. Those towns would have been typically had, they'd have been walled towns, they would have had a market space, they would have had plots, burgage plots, which allowed traders to begin to trade within their towns. Then later on, you have kind of folded into that, you've got Gaelic towns. So, for example, say Longford town. There are plantation towns, for example, Bandon. And then later again, you start to see planned towns. And they're more formally planned towns. So for example, Kenmare in Kerry or Westport in County Mayo, where you have more planned streets and planned public spaces in relation, and they relate to usually to a big house. So there are these different typologies of towns, but and there are also hybrids of these, of course. And they have continued to evolve as urban systems do. And central to them is this function of exchange, really, because they have this connection with the productive landscape outside of them. And I think one of the really lovely characters of towns in Ireland, and we're very lucky that we still have this, is the unique identity of people and place, which you can see particularly in shopfronts and towns. And we're so lucky to have examples of amazing shopfronts, from timber shopfronts, raised render shopfronts, mosaic tile shopfronts, vitrolite shopfronts. And you'll often see, you know, the names of the shopkeeper above the shopfront, and that links people with their place. And I think we undervalue some of that character and identity, because in many countries this has been eroded and changed beyond recognition. But in Ireland, we still very much have that strong sense of character. And of course, that continues to be built on today in terms of how towns are changing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, really, what we need to do is understand our towns a little bit better, don't we, really, to sort of appreciate that character, that uniqueness that you're talking about. And, you know, when it's damaged, people sort of, you know, look at it and wonder why it's damaged. But then, you know, if you don't value it and you don't understand it, that's what's going to happen, really, isn't it? You wrote a book, I think, back in 2012, was it? Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
And I think the Heritage Council, we part funded that book at the time. Do you want to just highlight, you know, what your book was trying to achieve? Were you trying to raise awareness? You know, what was your sort of aim of that book?
The book was one of the outputs of a two-year research project. I was awarded the Kevin Kieran Award in 2009-2011, which was supported by the Arts Council and the OPW. And that gives architects 2 years to research something related to their practice. So I wanted to look quite specifically at towns using a case study approach. So I looked at Bandon, Longford, New Ross and Westport. And I sort of surveyed and visualized several different characteristics: housing typologies, public building typologies, where towns begin and end, and what our understanding of that condition is, of their boundaries, what the challenges facing them are. So I tried to measure the condition of streets and their proportion, vacancy in particular, and to try to visualize that. So, because I was quite shocked by the extent of vacancy that I could see, so I tried to make that quite apparent. And then to try to understand why this was happening. So, why peripheral development, particularly to do with, say, housing, out of town supermarkets, was drawing activity from the centre of towns to the outskirts. And this was in effect hollowing out the centre of towns. So I wanted to really to try to capture that and to try to understand why it was happening, and to make some suggestions then about what we might do to address that.
Okay, so you're trying to sort of, you know, be a witness to the change, really, because I don't think, and what we find with the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check Programme, is that the change hasn't really been monitored. There's a lack of information and data, as you know. That's one of the things that our programme tries to look at. So, I mean, it's interesting that you're saying about the qualitative. So, I mean, obviously, you know, we need to look at the quantitative and the qualitative and combine those together, and, you know, with the disciplines that are involved in that process. So, like, also, you have a lovely video that you produced on towns, which we actually used at the very first workshop for the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check, which we held in the East Town Hall. I remember that video very well, because we actually started the meeting and the workshop playing the video to try and get people to sort of, A, to relax, and also just to have a bit of fun. So, you know, were you trying to communicate in a different way? You've got the book, the video. I mean, it's just really, really important to get that message out there about, you know, what are our towns about?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I believe that research is really important, not just within the academic centres that it emerges from, but that it gets disseminated and is communicated in a broader way as possible. So from the beginning of that project with the Kevin Kieran Award town, I wanted to find a way to communicate the findings in a very engaging way. So in parallel with the book, then I proposed to make a short animated film. And of course, I'm not an animator or a filmmaker. So I worked with artist Orla McCarty to make a 7-minute animated video that would just bring people through the research that I'd uncovered in, I guess, a kind of a lighthearted, but quite serious way as well, to try to just demonstrate what was happening. Because I think, to me, it was as if this hollowing out of town centres and maybe an undervaluing of just how great they are was not really being marked or observed. So the video is 7 minutes long. And I was also keenly aware that not everybody's going to plow through a big, long academic text. But, you know, to be able to view a video takes only a short amount of time. And it was also something that I could put online. So I didn't have to go and give a lecture in every place about the work. This video could be just freely accessible.
Yeah, I think it was perfect for our first workshop, you know, bringing people together for the very first time. And as I say, kicking off with the video was just absolutely lovely. And people actually said that, you know, it was just so different. We were trying to make people aware right from the start that we were doing this in a different way, you know. So that was, so thank you for that. I think we're going to share the video, aren't we, as part of your podcast. Yeah. So that'd be really good.
I mean, what's nice is that it's still, but that was made in 2012. And, you know, I still get people who come across it now and come back to me and say, oh, you know, that was really useful because it got the point we're trying to make about towns across in a very simple, effective, quite quick way.
It's really good, Orla. I love it, actually. Okay, then in terms of Free Market and the Venice Biennale, I mean, obviously you were very busy with that. Do you want to just sort of, you know, what did you actually do? How did you get started? I mean, obviously there's so much to talk about there. So if you could just sort of, you know, talk through what you actually did.
Yeah, so we were, I was lucky enough with 5 colleagues, Geoffrey Bullhus, Joanne Butler, Miriam Delaney, Tara Kennedy, and Lawrence Lord, to be appointed. We made a pitch for, and we were appointed to design and produce and curate the 2018 Irish Pavilion at the Venice Biennale, which is the biggest international exhibition of architecture that takes place every 2 years. And we proposed a pavilion entitled Free Market, which was responding to Grafton Architects' overall curatorial theme for the exhibition, which was free space. And we proposed to look at the Irish town, and in particular, its market spaces in Irish towns. And we wanted to look at their history, how they had changed. And then importantly, as architects, we wanted to make speculations, design ideas about how they might change and what the future might have in store for towns. So firstly, we designed this architectural framework, which we brought to Venice. And that framework evoked the material character in the space of Irish market towns. It also acted as a repository for all of the research that we gathered. And we worked with a huge team of collaborators who folded multimedia research into the framework. And for example, we produced a newspaper which was free to give away, entitled Free Market News. And you yourself wrote one of the articles for that. But we had, I think, 40 contributors to the paper. And what was amazing when we brought the pavilion to Venice, firstly, you know, we thought Irish towns, this is quite a small particular subject, but it transpired that what's happening to Irish towns is also happening internationally. Migration to bigger cities, the impact of the car, this missing demographic of, say, 20 to 30 year olds who go off to university, all these impacts which are happening in Ireland are also happening in towns globally. So this isn't just an Irish issue, which was, I think we were pleasantly surprised to see that and to see the support for work in relation to towns. And then the following year in 2019, as part of the Irish Pavilion, it always returns to have a national tour the following year. So we toured the Free Market Pavilion. Usually it travels to cities, but we wanted to bring Free Market back right into Irish towns. So in 2019, we toured the pavilion to 4 towns: Castleblaney in Monaghan, Macroom in Cork, Malik in Offaly, and Kilmallock in Limerick. And we literally deconstructed the pavilion, put it on a truck, and brought it into each of these towns externally in public spaces. We set it up and we created bespoke public engagement projects. So we literally set up shop for 4 days in each town. very importantly, we engaged with the people who knew, know and live in these towns to find out more about them, to listen to their concerns and their thoughts and what they loved about their towns. And then this again helped to build our understanding of towns, because one of the things we say is that we're constantly learning from small towns. It's not that we know the answer to them or that there is one solution, but it is very important to build that understanding and to build that data and to involve the people who really know their towns very intimately in that process.
I remember going to one in Castleblaney, really enjoyed it, the exhibition, meeting the locals, seeing what you guys were doing. I mean, it's just so important that we all collaborate, really, isn't it? And sort of, you know, learn from each other. And just in terms of moving on, you know, if we're going to sort of look at repurposing and we're going to look at the built environment design, what do you think is needed, you know, in terms of teams and skills and new skills as well, you know, because obviously, like, we need to move this on. So what are your thoughts on that, Orla?
I think we can't propose solutions to towns unless we fully understand what the issues are. So, you know, to make a general statement about vacancy in towns, unless we actually know what the extent of the vacancy is, unless we understand the reasons behind it, we won't be making informed decisions about how to solve the problem. So building up that data, building up that understanding is vital. I think in terms of towns in Ireland, there is a huge amount of work going on. There are a lot of people who are really engaged in local authorities, in academia, on the ground in towns, particularly volunteer groups and town teams. And there are some great things happening, but there needs to be some joining of the dots. So, for example, where good knowledge building is happening, how we share that knowledge, or where something is trialed and works or doesn't work, what is the what are the reasons behind that? What's at play? So I think it's very important that capacity is built at a national level, but also right down to the ground. If I can give one example, in Callan in County Kilkenny, a long-term approach has been taken between the community in Callan, which has a superb team of people who involve everything from social enterprise to people with multiple and different abilities, to understanding local streets and what are the barriers to and what to occupation of the town centre, what's preventing that in terms of mobility design. And so they've been building capacity in that town now for probably the last 10 or 15 years. And that's now starting to show results in terms of mobility strategies, community projects that work, that fold in culture and social enterprise together. And it's really starting to pay off in terms of the physical effect in the town, but also the social and cultural positive impact on the town.
So Orla, how do you think we should take back our town centres? What are your ideas on that issue?
Yeah, I think there's no silver bullet. There's no one solution that's going to fit all towns. But as part of the Town Centre Living Initiative pilot project on vacancy, myself and Philip Crowe and Madeline Lees wrote the census report. And in that, we examined that pilot project, which was a really super project rolled out by the Department of Local and Rural and Community Development, in six towns. And we synthesized the findings from those projects into 15 key actions. I suppose it's vital. Okay, firstly, we've touched on the idea of addressing data gaps. You know, and the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check process has been instrumental in beginning to do that. But also, I think linking into an academic centre would address that in a long-term way. Building confidence in towns, so encouraging local authorities to take on the buildings within their ownership and to adaptively reuse them in their towns is important. Addressing vacancy in terms of financial instruments to incentivize reuse, but also to crucially disincentivize underuse, I think is vital. And then addressing ideas of public realm. So public space and streets need to be prioritized for pedestrians. So we need to sort of take control of cars, not eliminate them from towns at all, but take back some of the ground that has been lost in terms of public space, which has been converted to car parks, in order to make streets more livable, to reduce noise pollution, to reduce air pollution. And citizen engagement in towns is vital, so that that process becomes inclusive from the outset. So these are just some of the kind of key actions within that report that can, I think, build capacity in order to, as you say, turn the bus around and take back control of our town cores.
Right, Orla, in terms of collaboration and partnership, you know, we're talking about sort of we need collaboration at all levels. And, you know, there's also the local authority architects, the role of architects in terms of town centre regeneration. What do you actually think is needed to enhance multidisciplinary, you know, and multidisciplinary approach to our town centres? You know, we do need a cultural shift, don't we?
We do, I think. We need to understand the value of interdisciplinarity and teamwork within town local authorities. So building up capacity and specialty that goes across, so architects, planners, heritage officers, biodiversity officers, conservation officers, because each of these skills brings something different to that mix and a different understanding. So I think that's really important. And we see in towns which have been successful that they do have that interdisciplinary team at their core, that they're working together, you know, because they each understand different things and that combined perspective is really needed. And parallel with that, it's got to engage right on the ground. So not in a consultative capacity, which is presenting something as a fait accompli, but in an engaged capacity. So it's about listening to the people who understand the unique character of their town, how it works, what doesn't work, what they need. And to do that at the outset, but also on an ongoing way throughout the process. So this isn't a short-term delivering one single public realm design, for example. It's about an ongoing long-term vision for the towns. And we're starting to see that in some towns. For example, Boyle has a 2040 plan. Carlow has just launched a 2040 plan. These are really, really good ways to build a long-term plan, which can then evolve, but very importantly, be right connected to the people who are the stakeholders. They're using these towns every day and they've got to have confidence in their town that it's going to continue to evolve and have a future for them.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, what we do with the programme is create the baseline, you know, and bring all those people together. So there doesn't seem to be any formal sort of system or policy in place to do that. So, you know, obviously in terms of the programme for government, you know, there's a commitment for a town centre first policy. You mentioned, you know, the sort of consultation. And I mean, again, you know, our programme is very much about participation, not consultation. So, you know, what are you doing as well, you know, in terms of supporting this policy formulation? You have the UCD Centre for Irish Towns. I mean, what else are you doing? That Town Centre First policy, it was so important to get it into the programme for government, because as you know, we were all sort of, you know, wanting it to be in, lobbying for it, because it didn't exist. So that policy for you, you know, what do you sort of see happening?
Firstly, just to say, it's really great to see a town centre first policy built into the programme for government, because that means the government has got to act, because it's part of their programme. It's got to deliver and it's got to have a time to deliver that. There is a sense of frustration, I think, in the people in the country, because Ireland is so small. We generally know the people who are involved and really passionate about getting towns moving. And there is a sense of frustration that things are moving too slowly. So I would like to see quite a strong action-based approach to Town Centre First policy. We're very good in Ireland at producing beautiful policy documents and from multiple departments. We're not so great on actioning them. So I would like to see that being led from the Department of Taoiseach. And I say this because towns are not just about housing. They're not just about environment. They're not just about urban design. They're not just about retail or enterprise. They're about all of these things, as well as education and energy and transport and mobility. They cross-cut across all government departments. So no one government department has the ability to solve towns on their own, which means it needs an all-of-government approach. So that's what I would like to see with the Town Centre First policy. I mean, what's great again in Ireland is that politicians generally are quite approachable. So you can in effect have a seat at the table if you request one. So we have been speaking with different people in the government about this and what our suggestions are, and they're very open to that. Whether we'll see them actioned or not is another question, but I'm very hopeful. And I think the positive energy around towns at the moment is something that we really need to capitalise on quite urgently.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, you know, essential that the energy and all the effort that there's quite a few of us have been working in this sector for a few years now, that is harnessed, because, you know, we need to be sort of, as you say, at the table, because we're the ones that have the data, the information that really will make this policy more robust and more successful, frankly, you know, because it has to be successful. Our town centres were already struggling going into COVID. And that's so important that they are supported going forward. All right. In terms of the European Commission, you know, obviously we've got a range of speakers. We've got ECDG Grow, yourself and others. It's just really good to get these different voices and these different the sort of expertise, the knowledge. It's just so useful to listen to this, you know, and to listen to you guys. So in terms of the EU Green Deal, I mean, obviously we all have high hopes for this and how it's going to be implemented in Ireland. What are your thoughts on the Green Deal? You know, obviously we're all sort of reading it and reading various documents that are coming out of the European Commission, thinking, okay, this is it, we're going to go for it now.
I really think the EU Green Deal is such a significant opportunity for Ireland, and particularly in relation to towns, because if you think of the transition that we have to make, it's absolutely massive, and towns can play a really important part of that. The Ursula von der Leyen made her State of the Union address in the EU, where she laid out what she called a plan to build the world we want to live in. And I just thought this is fantastic, because it turns the wheel around from looking at the climate crisis as a problem to starting to look at it as an opportunity. And she said that COVID and the climate crisis has demonstrated how fragile our community of values really is, and asks us to make change happen by design, not by disaster or by diktat from others in the world. And I just thought that was so hopeful. She describes the European Green Deal as a blueprint to make that transformation. And so henceforth, so she said she'd set up what she calls the new European Bauhaus, a co-creation space where architects, artists, students, engineers, designers work together to make that happen. I guess I found that really hopeful, that designing our future, not responding and reacting to problems in a negative way, is how do we fix this, but how do we actually think about the way we want to live? How do we think of towns as places which can support us to be healthy, energy efficient, thriving communities that are inclusive, that allow for people of different ages, of different ethnicities, of different abilities to live together, to do so in a way that is energy efficient, that is compact, so you're not relying on the car, that can be part of our transition to a low carbon society, which we have to do. And so this is such a hopeful, future forward way of rethinking our country. And I think the European Green Deal is a way to support us deliver that, because there's going to be a lot of funding for that. So it's up to us to grasp that opportunity and to with urgency, I think.
Yeah, it's a wonderful catalyst, isn't it? And a positive disruptor. We've all been talking about sort of positive disruption. So, you know, I think it's, you know, you've spoken about it so eloquently there. Yeah, it's, you know, everybody's really hopeful when they saw those documents and stuff.
I mean, if you think, just one more point on that, if you think we've got a million homes in Ireland that need to be retrofitted because they're not energy efficient. I mean, we're not going to be able to do that rapidly. But if we prioritise, for example, if we prioritised homes within our town centres and our cities first, if you think about what that would mean, that homes within those compact urban settlements would be energy efficient, would allow people to live compactly without being reliant on cars, to be able to walk to schools, to walk to places of work, for older people not to have to rely on public transport, because public transport, our towns are quite dispersed, so public transport is one of the harder challenges to deliver in an efficient way. But if compact centres of towns allow people to live in a pedestrian prioritised way, that it gives them easy access to amenity, easy access to nature and really beautiful physical resources that our country has. It's a no-brainer. And if we prioritize those buildings first in terms of energy retrofitting, then, you know, the rest will flow from it.
Yeah. And also the benefits for employment, you know, whether it be traditional skills or new technologies that we obviously, some of them haven't even been discovered yet for our buildings. So, you know, that future is bright because obviously we need to have some kind of job creation at the minute coming out of this pandemic. I think that's really, really important, as you've said, you know. So, okay, just in terms of the last question that I ask all the speakers, you know, thank you so much, Orla, because I know you're so passionate about towns. In terms of like this question, really, you know, if you could do one thing, right, you know, today, one thing for our town centres, you know, what, obviously you've been thinking about this issue for many years and you've been working on this issue and you've now got the Centre for Irish Town set up with Dr. Philip Crow, which is fabulous. So what one thing would you do? What would you focus on?
So it's really difficult to suggest just one thing. But if I had to say one thing, I would like to begin to join the dots between all of the conditions and the challenges that are facing towns. And I think to do that, we could follow the lead of the Scotland's Towns Partnership and introduce an Irish equivalent, an Ireland's Town Partnership, which would be a small, agile, independent group answerable to the Department of Taoiseach that would have capacity to act and join and partner across all government departments, so drawing in everything from the Department of Housing, Energy, Education, Heritage, and to work with them, as well as government agencies who are also working with towns, and then at the ground level within towns, partner with local stakeholders and work in a bespoke way in towns, but connecting them up to government, linking them to be able to achieve funding to deliver on the ground projects that are connected with people in their towns to help them to create thriving, healthy, energy efficient, compact communities. So I think that the Scottish model exists and they've tried that for a number of years, so they've been able to refine it. So it's been proven to work. This is a question that is too broad for any one department or any one group to address. So hence that idea of partnership is really at the core, I think, of addressing the challenges that face towns in a way that is inclusive, that connects policy with actions, with people on their grounds who understand towns and designs this future, the world we want to live in, as Ursula von der Leyen said. I think that would be my one move. I'd love to see people wanting to live in towns and wanting to take on the challenge of adapting existing empty buildings. And to do that, the approach has got to be supportive. It's got to be partner-based. It's got to be one that says, okay, great, you want to take this building on. We will help you through that process. We will walk you through the regulations. We will, instead of putting barriers up, we'll actually enable you to do that. And we'll give a confidence in towns in terms of delivering exemplar projects so that you can see you're not going to be the only person on the street. You're going to be one of a vanguard of people who will be proud owners of a home on a street, which is part of a network that's connected, that's compact, that's linked to local businesses, that's linked with mobility, greenways in towns, that makes the most of the access to nature that we have outside of towns. And that is inclusive and that you can grow older in with respect and dignity.
Okay, Orla, thank you so much. That was absolutely fascinating. I know that you have so many ideas bubbling away there. So hopefully we will get to see them through this policy formulation with all the others that are working in the sector. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ali. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thanks again to Orla Murphy for that wonderful interview. I really enjoyed talking with her as she has so much experience and she's absolutely wonderful ideas. I particularly enjoyed hearing her hopes for the future of Ireland's town centres in response to the EU Green Deal and the recent call by Ursula von der Leyen for a new Bauhaus movement in Europe. Orla is also a strong advocate for a multidisciplinary approach to town centre management, which is a major theme of this podcast series. Thank you for listening, liking and sharing this podcast. We are loving all your feedback and we're delighted to hear so many people are listening in and finding them useful. Feel free to get in touch, get involved in the conversation or let us know what you're thinking by following the Heritage Council on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and subscribing to this podcast. Thanks for listening.